Rigor, vata, vrindigaja, shishi, radagusna, go, pigavada, siam, kundradakunda, giddy go, vadan, kija, vrindavanan, kija, tiradam, kija, navadipdam, kija, jagadasami, kija, shimadi lasi devi, kija, sivida bhakta, vrindigaja, go, premananda, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Om Magana Timirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So again, Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. And all you men, you got to wait for another month, okay? So, anyway, so we're going to talk about Parikshit Maharaj receiving Kali and the cow and the bull that he dealt with. But first, we're going to start talking about when Krishna left the planet. So when Krishna left the planet, the earth was very much bereft. And then the Pandavas discovered that Krishna had left the planet, especially Arjuna, when he went to Dwarka to try to see Krishna. Guess what happened? Krishna had left the planet, and Dwarka was being inundated, and Arjuna was taking some of Krishna's queens and trying to save them. And these queens were kidnapped by dacoits. Of course, the dacoits happened to be incarnations of Krishna, so it wasn't a problem. And Arjuna arrived back in Hastinapur, and he said, basically there was a lot of moroseness, but anyway, he said, to make a long story short, to his brothers, Krishna has left the planet, and Yudhisthira Maharaj decided it's time to leave now that Krishna has left. Because whenever Krishna comes to this world, he brings his associates, the different expansions, and his primary associates in the spiritual world. And Arjuna is certainly one of those associates, as Krishna says in the Gita, that Arjuna was there the last time Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vibhaswami. So Arjuna is continually accompanying Krishna, as are the other Pandavas. So the Pandavas decide to leave this world and they head up to the north. Of course, they leave their grandson Parikshit Maharaj in charge. And he's the last remaining member of the dynasty. So they head to the north, and as they're heading to the north, with Draupadi, gradually, one by one, they die, or they pass away, or they leave this world. Let's use a better expression. Draupadi leaves first. And the reason she leaves, Yudhisthira Maharaj is asked by the other Pandavas, why did Draupadi just pass away on the path going to the north? And Yudhisthira Maharaj said, well, she had one fault. Does anyone know what that fault was? No?
Attachment to Arjuna.
Attachment to Arjuna. She favored Arjuna. So you ladies, if you have five husbands, favor them all equally. So that was a fault. So then, the next one who passed away was Sahadev. And Sahadev passed away because he was prideful. And then Nakula passed away because he thought he was the most handsome man on the planet. He used to look at himself in a mirror all the time. On the wall. So, I mean, these are, of course, these are pure devotees. These are pastimes. Like, we're not criticizing these particular individuals. And then Arjuna passed away because he had vowed to defeat his enemy in one day, and he didn't. So he didn't fulfill a vow one particular day. And then Bhim Sen passed away. Does anyone know why Bhim Sen passed away? What? He ate too much. He's gluttonous. He's known as Rikodara. That means someone who has a wolf belly. So he passed away, and then Yudhisthira continued to the north. Of course, we all know the story that a dog accompanied him. And the dog was being taken care of by Yudhisthira, and eventually Indra comes down and says to Yudhisthira Maharaj, all right, time to go back to the heavenly planets. And Yudhisthira says, can my dog come with me? And Indra says, no. And so Yudhisthira refuses to go. The dog happens to be Yamaraj. You know, eventually Yudhisthira does go back to heaven. Of course, let me explain something very esoteric in this regard. That Yudhisthira is a pure devotee of the Lord. However, Yudhisthira is also residing in the spiritual world with Krishna, in addition to being in heaven. Because heaven is in the material world. And there's a spiritual world. So Yudhisthira in the spiritual world expands as the Yudhisthira in the material world. Got it? That's called Ansa. So devotees in the spiritual world, they can expand and appear in many different places simultaneously, as well as Krishna. Of course, Krishna appears in unlimited places, whereas devotees, there's actually some limitation to them. Okay. So let's talk about Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was, of course, left in charge of the kingdom, and he was the son of Uttara and Abhimanyu. And Parikshit Maharaj actually married his cousin. That was allowed in those particular days. And his son, cousin was the daughter of Uttara, who was Uttara's brother. You understand? So he married his cousin, and he had many sons, actually four sons, and the most prominent son was Janamajaya, who later on performed the Sarpa Yajna, the snake sacrifice. And that's another story we're not going to talk about today. So his wife's name was Iravati. That is Parikshit Maharaj, his name was Iravati. So he did many, many different sacrifices, horse sacrifices, established religious principles. And even the demigods would attend his sacrifices. This is how pious and how Krishna conscious he was. Of course, he was called Parikshit because he was always looking for Krishna. Because he had seen Krishna while he was in the womb. And he would go around, where is this Krishna? Where is this Krishna? Of course, this is known as the mood of Vipralamba, the mood of separation, always looking for Krishna. And the Goswamis of Vrindavan, a little over 500 years ago, were in that same mood. Hey Radhe, Braja Devake, Hey Nanda, Shinokuta. They were always looking for Krishna. Where is Krishna? So we should also be like that. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? One time, Srila Prabhupada had this little girl who was traveling as part of his entourage. Her name is Saraswati. And she had a little Krishna doll, or a Krishna deity. And Prabhupada took it and hid it. And he asked her, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And she was crying, Krishna, I can't find Krishna. This is how we should all be. And eventually, it was revealed that Prabhupada had Krishna. And she said, oh, Prabhupada has Krishna, which is true for all of us. Anyway, that's another story. So, anyway, so Parikshit Maharaj was in charge. In the meantime, different scenario, different scene. And we'll get to combining the two scenes together. In the meantime, there's Dharma the bull talking to the earth, who's personified as a cow. Because the cow is one of our mothers. We have seven mothers. Everybody understands that? We have different mothers. Like the earth is one of our mothers, the cow is one of our mothers, the nurse, if you happen to have a nurse, the king, the real mother, the king's wife, the Brahmin's wife, the Guru's wife, like that. But these are all different mothers. And all the mothers are meant to be treated with great respect. And of course, in polite society, every man thinks of ladies who are not his wife as his mother. That's a polite thing. And just like the story of Arjuna, when Arjuna was in the heavenly planets one time, Urvashi, who happened to be his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, I probably missed a few greats there. When Urvashi approached him with a, let's say, a lusty intention, He just said to her to diffuse the situation. Of course, it didn't diffuse her anger. He said, Ma Tichi. She immediately got angry and cursed him. That's another story. So anyway, so we have all these mothers. So the Dharma the Bull and Bhumi, they were talking, and she was crying, and Dharma was basically standing on one leg, urinating. He was as white as a lotus flower because of, you know, the stress that he was in. And Bhumi was crying. And Dharma was standing on one leg, started to ask Bhumi, what's the problem? You know, as if he didn't have enough problems. He said, what is your problem? Is it because people are eating cows now? Is it because people are not performing sacrifices? Is it because people are having illicit life or having, you know, sex life in any circumstance, anywhere, without any restriction? What is the reason for this? Is it because of famine? Or is it because the Brahmins are misusing their learning just to collect money? Or the Brahmins are controlled by the Kshatriyas? What is the problem? Is the problem is there's no more mercy? There's no more memory? You know, people losing their memory? He kept asking her again and again about what her problems were. And of course, we see all these things are manifest now, right? Just read the news. And you read about all these things, and I'm not going to make comments or mention specific personalities. Okay. So Bhumi, after being asked this question, is lamenting. Why? Because she has lost her good fortune. She's our mother. She's the cow, personification of the earth, and she's also the earth in two ways. She's our mother. And the goddess, Bhumi, of course. She's lamenting, I've lost my good fortune because previously, who was here on my planet? Krishna! Oh my God, you didn't know that. Who was here on the planet? Krishna. And Krishna was marking Bhumi. Bhumi was marked all over with, you know, trident and lotus flower. What does that mean? The footprints of Krishna. Isn't that fortunate? Even Kali was marked with the footprints of Krishna, right? Krishna danced on his head. So the earth was lamenting. Krishna has left in all good qualities, and she lists all of Krishna's good qualities, and now I have nothing left, and Kali is everywhere. And I'm feeling great separation from him. And feeling this separation, my hair, what is the earth's hair? The grass is standing up in ecstasy. And she's crying, tears are pouring from her eyes. Poor Bhumi. At that moment, okay, the scene doesn't switch, but who arrives but Parikshit Maharaj, who we talked about previously, right? So Parikshit arrives, and this is at the shore of the river called the Sarasvati. Most people mispronounce it, they say Saraswati. Sarasvati, you know, you got to pronounce Sanskrit properly. So it's the shore of the Saraswati, and what he sees there is not only are they lamenting and crying, but there's a low-class person dressed up as the leader, as the king, and he's beating the cow and the bull. And he's kicking, previously in the Bhagavatam it described, he was kicking, not only beating with a stick, but kicking. And those of you who are from a polite culture know that you don't touch anyone with your foot. Because if you touch anyone with your foot or even step over someone, it's considered an insult. Just like recently, some politician received another politician by giving him food in a container that looked like a shoe. Some of you might have read about that. And he was completely insulted. You know, it's from Japan. In Japan, they also have the same understanding. So, Parikshit, the bull was actually not only standing on one leg, but he was urinating because he was feeling so disturbed by what Kali was doing. And that was Kali, of course. Kali was dressed like a king. Kali is a demigod, but he's the worst of the demigods because he comes to actually start this whole degraded age. Manda Samanda Matyo Manda Bhagyu Padata, where everybody is unfortunate, short-lived, no memory, and all these different symptoms are there. Previously we did give a class about the symptoms of Kali Yuga, so we're not going to talk about that today. So Parikshit immediately challenges this Shudra, this low-class person who's dressed like a king. And who are you? You deserve to be killed. Then he asks the bull, who are you? I can see you're the personality of religion. Who has done this? Who has cut off your three legs? And the bull, instead of just saying what? Kali did it. The bull is the personality of religion, so he's actually seen Krishna behind everything. So he says, it's very difficult to ascertain. And then he gives a whole bunch of bogus philosophies. Say, some people say things happen by chance. Some people say it's my fault. Some people say this, some people say that. Giving a whole bunch of... But Parikshit Maharaj understands after hearing this that actually this bull is the personality of Dharma, personality of religion. And his three legs have been cut off for a variety of reasons. Because these three legs indicate three of the principles of religiosity, which are completely gone in Kali Yuga, with one just like hanging by a thread. The four principles of religiosity, of course, cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. So, austerity is lost by pride. I think just about everybody's proud. Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi Siddham Balavan Sukhi. And then you have cleanliness lost by lust. And then you have the mercy lost by intoxication. And truthfulness is lost by lying propaganda. And aren't we seeing this more and more in the news and, you know, in the different leaders of society nowadays? You know, either there's fake news or politicians are lying. One day they're saying, I was just, not to comment on any particular individual, but there was just one news report I was seeing where they were listing the number of lies in a politician's speech. One politician gave a speech, who shall remain nameless, protect the innocent. And there were like 35 lies in one speech. One lie in a speech, yeah, you can understand. But 35 blatant lies. So you can see how this last principle is being lost. So we need to institute these principles of religiosity in a polite society. Cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And Prabhupada comments in the Bhagavatam that people in Kali Yuga who are dharmic should give a certain percentage of their income for education, to educate people in these principles. Just like we have our Gurukula here. Some of the children here are students, right? And they're educated in cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And this is actually will keep society stable. So, then, Parikshit, being a great king, got ready to kill Kali. He said, this is my duty to kill you. But Kali did one thing. He surrendered. Now, if one surrenders to a great Kshatriya, the Kshatriya has to give you protection at that particular point. So how do you give Kali protection? Kali is the age of quarrel. Kali is instituting all these irreligious principles. He's cutting the legs of the bull. He's torturing the cow. And so he says, I surrender. I surrender. You have to protect me. Give me some place to live. And what does Parikshit Maharaj say? Okay. You can live wherever people are what? Breaking the four regular principles. Taking intoxication, having illicit sex, gambling, or meat eating. Of course, as we know, where is that? Everywhere. everywhere. I mean, you just walk out the door of the temple, and you may find people like in the parking lot smoking cigarettes. Oh my God. It happens sometimes. So that's Kali. It calls. There's a certain energy. It's that you can, it's not simply imagination. There's a certain energy that comes in when the four regulated principles are being broken. But Kali had an objection to being allowed to go to those four places or where those four things were broken. Kali said to Parikshit Maharaj, hey, that's nowhere. Because Parikshit Maharaj had control of the whole world at that time. Even America. Yeah. Because he controlled the whole world. Can you imagine that? And so, you know, obviously there were legends and people like that. It's not that everybody was just like chanting Hare Krishna and saluting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kali said, no, you got to give me a further place. And then Richard said, okay, wherever people are hoarding gold, you can live. Because as soon as there is hoarding of money, hoarding of gold, of course, people don't, sometimes people have gold nowadays, but generally people have paper money or simply a entry in some computer and the internet, you know, that's how the money is kept nowadays. So you can live in those places. And wherever there's gold, there's falsity, intoxication, lust, and envy. And so Kali said, okay, I agree. So at that point, while Parikshit Maharaj was still there, he kept Kali at bay. But as soon as Parikshit left, Janmajaya also was doing a good job, but as time went on, Kali became more and more prominent. So how to counteract Kali? Okay, here's a good point. Kali is counteract, just like Kali was acting as a king, as a leader. What is necessary are leaders who are spiritually conscious. And we're not talking about a sectarian religion or anything like that, but leaders who promulgate the religious principles of cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity, and don't allow the counteracting principles to occur. And in this way, then the cow and the bull can be protected. Cow protection, gomata, is essential in spiritual life. And nowadays, I don't know the exact number, but hundreds of millions of cows are being killed every year. I don't have the exact statistics in front of me. So it is our job, of course, ultimately we want to have Krishna conscious leaders in society, dharmic leaders in society. So it is our job, at least at this present time, to invoke the presence of Dharma by utilizing education. Because that's what I mentioned before, Srila Prabhupada stated that 50%, he actually said 50% of people's income should be used to educate people in dharmic principles. But I know that may not be practical because people don't make that much. But we should institute educational processes, beginning with children, komana machiret pragyo vadavadang iha durlava manasa janma paradruvam ardhanam. As Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends were complaining because he was trying to teach them dharmic principles, right? And his friends were actually a little adharmic because they were sons of not so nice people, asuras. But he said, you should take up spiritual life from the very beginning. So here in our Krishna conscious movement, we have not only a gurukula for training up the children, and on Sunday we're going to be having more programs for the children. And then we also have this book distribution, which is very important, spiritual knowledge, because the more that people read about these things, they hear these Vedic literatures, they'll change their lives, society will change. And then also we want to develop leaders, real political leaders. I hate to use the word political. Because in the Vedic system, there were kings. We're not thinking to establish the king of America. I don't think that would work too well. But at least leaders of society who can be role models, who people will respect. Brahmins, who people will respect. Because people, when they have role models, they naturally follow those role models. So education and role models. And that's how we can actually protect our mothers. Bhumi, Mother Earth, the cow, our actual mother. This is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So we'll keep things short because we have a Bhagavad Gita recitation. So anybody have any quick questions before we have the Bhagavad Gita recitation? Nobody has any questions? Well, Karjan, you always have a question.
I just thought that was an interesting point about education. That's how you can change things, because I mean, if you think about it, I mean, that's how they kind of mess with people's heads and make people stupid, is through the modern education system.
Yes. Like, for example, China became communistic primarily because of the education with this, what's called the Little Red Book. I don't know if any of you remember, because none of you were as old as I am. You know, born in 1850. Anyway, so I don't know if any of you have seen these videos, but they were, all the Chinese people would be raising this Little Red Book of Mao. So, has anyone seen that? You've seen that. You're not that old. A young lady. You couldn't be over 22. So they had this little red book, and they were raising it, and they were reading it every day. And in this way, China became communistic. It wasn't communistic originally. It wasn't a communist country. It was from education, a little red book. So we have our... Where's our little red book? We have our little... Not so great. But anyway. Not so little either. But anyway. We have our maroon book. How about that? And if we propagate this knowledge, society can change. That's why Srila Prabhupada, when he was on the planet, he stressed book distribution. And of course, now we have the internet to be able to propagate spiritual knowledge, the same sort of spiritual knowledge. We should take advantage of these things to save society from the downward spiral that is occurring right now. It definitely is. In my lifetime, I have witnessed things recently that I never thought I would witness, insofar as leadership. Okay? So, thank you very much. We'll go on to the Bhagavad Gita recital. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.